Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
The Ohio State Board of Trustees met yesterday. They met to discuss the future of Urban Meyer. And to me, what went down was pretty much exactly what everybody expected, only worse, much worse, because Meyer ends up getting a three-game suspension. Meyer is still the head coach at Ohio State. So why don't we start first with the punishment? Does that punishment fit that crime? Well, consider this. Terrell Pryor got 5 games for tattoos. Urban Meyer gets 3 games for protecting an alleged abuser and lying about it. So you tell me if the punishment fits the crime. And if you need some help, it doesn't. That press conference was a joke. Meyer, to me, is a disgrace. If the Board of Trustees thought that this guy was contrite, apologetic, and that he learned a lesson, they're even more ignorant than Herb himself. Because that guy gave a giant middle finger to everybody. That guy is empty. He's a hypocrite. He's a liar. At his core, the guy is nothing. And he proved it at that presser by apologizing not to the alleged victim of domestic violence, Courtney Smith, but instead to Buckeye Nation. He apologized to his loser fans who, like Herb, think that he did nothing wrong, but not to the woman who one of his employees was allegedly beating. You see, he's not sorry that Courtney Smith was allegedly abused by her husband. Herb is sorry that it all got out. Herb is sorry that he had to answer questions about it and he got caught in a lie about it. But not a single word about that victim. And that's because Herb thinks that he is the victim. He thinks that he is the one who has been wronged. Not a bruised and bloodied Courtney Smith. Never mind firing this guy. Meyer doesn't even think he should have been suspended. And he's a disgrace for that reason. This is the same guy who's on record as saying treating women with respect is a core value. This is a guy who had a chance to make it right. This is a guy who had a chance to own it, to lead from the front, to say, it's my program. Everybody takes their lead from me, and I failed. It's on me. But I learned a valuable lesson. This should have never happened, and it will never happen again on my watch, and I'll be much better for it moving forward. But there was none of that. Instead, when asked a direct question about Courtney Smith, he just stood up there and puked all over himself.
What message do you have for Courtney Smith?
Well, I have a message for everyone involved in this. I'm sorry that we're in this situation. And I'm just sorry we're in this situation.
I mean, normally in a situation like this, I always say, Meyer's not sorry he enabled an alleged wife beater. He's sorry he's in this situation. Normally, I would say that, but I didn't even have to because the guy literally just said it for me. Literally. He literally said, I'm sorry for the situation we're in. He should have said, Courtney, I'm sorry my employee allegedly assaulting you has led to my 3-game suspension. I'm sorry you're allegedly getting abused got me suspended. Because in effect, that's exactly what he's saying. He doesn't feel like he owes her an apology. This guy comes off like she owes him an apology for putting him in this position. Never mind that this guy does not give a damn about domestic violence. He couldn't be bothered to pretend like he does. Couldn't even be bothered to make up or half-ass an apology to a question that he knew was coming. You see, in Herb's world, Herb is not the problem. Courtney Smith is. Courtney Smith and the members of the media who investigated his wife-beating employee, Zach Smith. They're the ones that caused Herb problems. Herb didn't do anything wrong. Everybody else did. I mean, there is so much more garbage from Herb, from the school, and from the investigation that I'm going to need a whole nother take to finish this off. And by the way, Buckeye Nation, you're not the disgrace that your hero is, but you're not much better. Rushing to defend this guy makes you look almost as bad as the guy himself. And right now, I'm not sure there's anybody anywhere in sports that looks any worse than Herb. But let me leave you with this. Herb Meyer claims that his core values are honesty and respect for women. And he lied about and covered for a guy with a history of domestic violence. So what does that tell you about his core values? It tells you those core values are useless. It's a sham. At the core of Urban Meyer is nothing. And apparently at the core of Ohio State, nothing. Yesterday does not sum this guy up as a coach. It sums him up as a man, as a person. Big winner on the field, loser in life. And a failure. Man, a failure as a human being. He's got a chance to do the right thing and couldn't have jacked it up any worse than he did. Brett McMurphy is my guest. Brett, good morning. Nice to have you on. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
You too, Brett. Thank you. Look, there's so many different things I want to discuss with you, but why don't we start right here? What was your reaction to the announcement that Urban Meyer got a 3-game suspension and then that press conference that followed?
I think the most disturbing thing was they didn't release the 23-page investigative report until after the press conference because nobody knew specifically what the investigative team found out. And then when you look through the report, I am shocked that Urban Meyer was not fired. I don't see how they didn't fire him. There are multiple instances where he covered up incidents by Zach Smith. He failed to report specific things himself and Gene Smith to compliance. You could go on and on. And I think it summed up, the report summed up perfectly about Zach Smith. He had promiscuous and embarrassing sexual behavior, drug abuse, truancy, dishonesty, financial irresponsibility, possible NCAA violation, lengthy police investigation into allegations of domestic violence and cyber crimes, end quote. Yet Meyer never disciplined him once. That's what stood out to me.
Brett McMurphy joining us. Brett, to that point, the school's investigation, as you just said, found Zach Smith had a pattern of all those things. It was right there in the report. How and why was this guy able to keep that job as long as he did?
Well, Urban Meyer played up the Earl Bruce narrative that Zach Smith is Earl Bruce's grandson. Earl Bruce does mean a great deal and did to Urban Meyer. He said he's the second most important male figure in his life next to his dad. However, I think there's more there. Courtney Smith told me early in the process when I began interviewing her that Zach told her, if I ever go down for this at Ohio State, I'm taking everyone down with me. I think Zach Smith has information on either Urban Meyer and or a number of assistant coaches, and that's why I think he was allowed to basically run roughshod throughout the football offices and basically do whatever he wanted to, because any coach that had the multitude of incidents that he did, and you look at the report, it starts in 2013 and goes all the way through 2016 and 17, and he was never fired. I mean, this guy was a dime a dozen wide receivers coach. There had to be another motive why Urban Meyer would simply look the other way and not do anything. And the last thing is, Urban Meyer said, well, there were some red flags. I wish I knew more. He knew everything. It showed in the report. He knew everything. He's known Zach Smith 11 years. He's been on his staff 11 years. He knew everything. He just chose not to do anything about it.
Brett McMurphy is my guest. Brett, to that point that maybe Zach Smith had information or knew things about Urban Meyer, what kind of information or types of things that might he have known?
I asked Courtney that. She told me what she thought it was. I could not confirm that, so I didn't report that. I'm not going to speculate on the air what it is, but basically it's, if it is true, it's information that would get coaches fired. And so I think ultimately that's why Urban Meyer looked the other way, because to either protect himself or protect other members of his staff.
We're talking to Brett McMurphy. Brett, is it believable to you that Shelly Meyer, Urban Meyer's wife, would receive text messages like the one that he received from Courtney Smith and then not mention it to Urban? Is it possible that that could happen and Urban wouldn't know about that? She wouldn't discuss it with him?
Absolutely not. And the investigative report even said that it doubted that that was true. Shelly Meyer, in the text message exchange with Courtney Smith, talked about, have you notified the police? That's awful. Do you have a restraining order? Zach scares me. The investigative report also indicated that Shelly Meyer went to the police on her own trying to help Courtney Smith. So if Urban and Shelley said they counseled this young couple in 2009 when they were at Florida after Zach was arrested for aggravated assault of a pregnant female, then all of a sudden, 6 years later, when you've got more evidence that there's domestic violence, now all of a sudden Shelley's not going to share that with Urban, when Urban has talked multiple times about how important Shelley is not only a soulmate, but somebody that he can talk to and share everything with. Jim, I don't buy that at all. Like everything else Urban Meyer has said.
Have the kind of Labor Day that your friends will be talking about for a long, long time. Craft your masterpiece and enjoy a slow smoke meal with a master-built smoker. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned professional, you'll find that just right smoker for your backyard cookout. It's easier and it tastes better than grilling. Load the smoker up with your favorite foods, set the time and temp, and walk away. Spend more time with your family and friends. It's available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, and Cabela's. For more information, tips, and recipes, visit masterbuilt.com. Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider for Stadium Network and WatchStadium.com joining us. Brett, when Meyer was asked if he had a message for Courtney Smith, he said, quote, "I have a message for everyone in this. I'm sorry we are in this situation," end quote. What do you make of that response?
The only thing he was sorry about is he's sorry that he got suspended for 3 games because he doesn't believe he did anything wrong. And he's sorry he had to sit up there and answer those questions because he looked like he was a hostage and somebody had a gun to his head the way that he was answering these questions. I thought it was disgusting and to not even acknowledge Courtney Smith, and thankfully somebody asked a question about her, just shows ultimately what he thinks. They have a sign in the complex. I know you've seen it, respect women. I think they need to add an asterisk to it that says respect women, asterisk, as long as you're not convicted of domestic violence. Because certainly nothing Zach Smith has done in the last 9 years shows any kind of respect for women. And Urban knew all about it.
Brett McMurphy joining us. Now, Brett, you mentioned a communication with Courtney. Let me ask you, how is she doing right now, and what has this process been like for her?
She's doing well through this whole process. It was hard on her because basically she was kind of out there by herself. I mean, it took a lot of courage for her to open up and share these things with me. And, you know, I told her from the start, I said, nobody is going to believe anything that you're going to say. So you need to back it up with text messages, with emails, with police reports, with documents, with photos and everything else. And that's what she did. And that's what this investigative report showed, is that all of the stuff that she said, the information that I had, was accurate and credible. It's just that because all these coaches and these coaches' wives started to fear for their jobs, they basically stopped associating with Courtney. The one assistant coach's wife said back in 2015, "I simply can't talk to you anymore," because they knew that if Zach Smith went down and was fired and all this stuff got exposed, then their husband's jobs were in danger also.
We're joined by Brett McMurphy for a few more moments. Hey, Brett, I'm sure you've received a lot of feedback from Ohio State fans over the past few weeks. What has that experience been like for you, Brett?
Jim, it's got to the point now where I on TweetDeck, you have a column where you can see all your mentions. I've literally deleted that column because you can't get sucked into reading all that. I literally have this is not an exaggeration, probably 2,000 messages from Ohio State fans. Probably about 70 to 80% of those are either threats, profanity, or creative suggestions how I can have sex with myself. It's really pretty sad. And the bottom line is, if I would have reported the same exact information word for word about Jim Harbaugh, I'm guessing 99% of these, quote, fans would have no problem with it.
100% about that 99%. Hey, Brett, just so everybody knows, do you have any axe to grind with Ohio State or Urban Meyer? Is it personal to you, or is this just where the story is?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, Jim. I don't. And I know Ohio State fans aren't going to believe that. I don't want to say his name to give him any credit, but there was even a national broadcaster or analyst saying that I've got it in for Urban, and because I didn't get along with him at Florida. I live in Florida. I've never covered Urban Meyer on a daily basis at Florida, so that's false. And there's no agenda here. Again, I ultimately heard about Zach Smith's domestic violence incidents. I did some public record requests in Florida and Ohio, and then reported on incidents that had never been reported, including back to 2009. I simply went where the reporting took me. And remember, Jim, if Urban Meyer doesn't lie at Big Ten Media Day, he's still probably coaching, because the whole focus of my story shifted from Zach Smith to, well, Urban Meyer said he didn't know about it, but I have all this evidence that says he did know about it. And so that's where my reporting took me. And then from there, it's trying to show that Zach Smith basically had no credibility based on all the things that he did at Ohio State that went unpunished. And this 23-page investigative report detailed it blow by blow.
All right, so Brett, before you go to that point, I mean, you're right, I think. If Urban Meyer does not lie at Big Ten Media Days, we're not having this conversation. It looks nothing like this. So why do you think that he did not acknowledge those allegations that day?
His agent told him to talk about him. Gene Smith told him to talk about him. His PR guy told him to talk about it, and he chose not to. I think that's because that's who Urban Meyer is. It's his ego. He feels he's above everybody else. Certainly, he's the highest paid employee in the state of Ohio. And he figured, you know, he wanted to, you know, I had several athletic directors reach out to me after that press conference and say, you realize, one, you realize you're doing the right thing. And second, you realize Urban Meyer is trying to bully you, which I guess I didn't look at it that way, but he was trying to put me in my place. Like, I don't know who would create a story like that. Well, I know who would create a story like that, because I'm sitting 20 rows back listening to him, and I've got a copy of the police report. So you're right. If he just answers it any other way, I certainly would not have had to prove that he knew about it. And I don't know, quite frankly, if I would have uncovered a lot of these things.
So final thought, Brett, and I do appreciate your time very much. Where does that leave us? I mean, Meyer loves to tell everybody about his values and what he stands for as a person. So then what's his legacy and reputation going forward?
His legacy and reputation going forward is, when things got tough at Florida, he said he had a heart ailment. I'll believe that he did. And when things got tough at Ohio State, he says now he has selective memory loss. He has no problem remembering to text a recruit at midnight the first day he's able to. He has no problem remembering what to call on 4th-and-1 in double overtime against Michigan. But he has problems remembering stuff when his assistant coach that has spent one-third of his life working with him has all these domestic violence issues.
He is a college football insider for Stadium Network and WatchStadium.com. And the man who broke that story, Brett McMurphy, my guest. Brett, thank you so much. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Give me a minute so I can talk to you about one of my favorite new products, Bespoke Post. Bespoke brings awesome to your doorstep every single month. It delivers a monthly themed box of awesome, full of goods to upgrade your style, your apartment, and your life. I'm talking about all sorts of box themes, style, grooming, cooking, drinking, or travel. Bespoke Post has new boxes every single month that you are guaranteed to dig. And no commitments either. Bespoke Post lets you know which box they've picked out for you on the first of every month, and then you've got 5 days to keep it, switch it, or just skip it. I'm telling you, I look forward to this every single month. I can't wait to bust open that box of awesome. These guys are upgrading my style, my life, one box at a time. It's kind of like a present from myself to myself once a month, and now you too can experience this at boxofawesome.com. Bespoke Post scouts out quality and unique products from around the world and then delivers them to you every single month without high retail markups. To get started, visit boxofawesome.com, answer a few short questions, and then they'll get a feel for the boxes that will best go with your style. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter promo code Rome at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Promo code Rome. Get 20% off your first box. Again, Bespoke Post, theme boxes for guys that give a damn. Ohio State fans, I do need a word with you too. Why don't we start with this? Do not come in here and tell me that the punishment is strict, because Meyer is going to miss that game against number 16, TCU. First off, he returns to practice well before that game. Secondly, it's embarrassing. You embarrass yourselves with that take. Again, 5 games for tattoos. 3 games for protecting an alleged wife beater and lying about it. Enough said there. You also embarrass yourselves when you say that Ohio State should not take criticism because they did not apologize to Courtney Smith because they were not the ones who allegedly assaulted her. Let me help you with that part too. It's easy. There's an easy apology. Courtney, I'm sorry for what you and your children went through. I'm sorry we did not do enough to help or protect you. It's that easy. And you embarrass yourselves when you argue that Urban Meyer should not have been fired because he did not commit a crime. I mean, honestly, that's the hill you want to die on, that your head coach did not commit a crime. If that bar were any lower, it would be a sewage pipe. If memory serves, I seem to recall a lot of Ohio State fans riding around on their high horses when Penn State was in the midst of their scandal. Where are those high horses right now? Or are you only interested in morals and values when it's somebody else's team? It's almost as embarrassing as Urban Meyer saying he regrets not paying attention to the red flags about Zach Smith. Yo, Holmes, there was a damn parade of red flags over nearly a decade of the time you two spent together. You looked the other way because he was your mentor's grandson. And that's putting it kindly. Maybe there's another reason he looked the other way. As Brett McMurphy said, maybe Zach Smith had information. Maybe Zach Smith knew things about Herb. I don't know. I didn't do that reporting. Normal common logic would dictate. I've been asking the question every single day. Why the hell would you keep that guy around? And don't tell me it's because you didn't know what he was into. He knew what he was into. Why would you keep that guy around? Because Earl Bruce was your mentor? Which also raises the issue about Earl Bruce being his mentor, that he gave Smith a pass because that was his mentor's grandson. But he also says he only knew him in a professional context. Herb is talking out of both sides of his ass. Which is it, Herb? Is it a personal relationship that you had and a blind spot? Or is it a guy that you barely knew, that you only knew in a professional context? Because it can't be both. And speaking of embarrassing, check out some of the details from the investigation. Things we're talking about right now. How about this beauty? From after the report that Meyer knew about the 2015 incident and had lied about it at the Big 12 media days. The investigative team found, quote, upon seeing this report when it first came out at about 10:17 a.m., Brian Voltellini, who was on the practice field with Coach Meyer, went to speak with him, commenting that there was a, quote, bad article. The two discussed at that time whether the media could get access to Coach Meyer's phone and specifically discussed how to adjust settings on Meyer's phone so that text messages older than 1 year would be deleted, end quote. Now, that's weird. Somebody writes a, quote, bad article about what you knew and when you knew it, and you immediately chat with your director of football operations about how you can delete old text messages from your phone. And what do you know? There's a side benefit to that, a side benefit to deleting all texts from the previous year. Not only do you wipe out the chance of a text that confirms that you knew about that 2015 report, but you erase any possible text messages with your wife, Shelly, who had been texting with Courtney about Zach's assault. Bonus! Then the investigation goes on to say, quote, it is nonetheless concerning that his first reaction to a negative media piece exposing his knowledge of the 2015-2016 law enforcement investigation was to worry about the media getting access to information and discussing how to delete messages older than a year. Yeah, you think that might be concerning? Maybe a little bit. You think that might be an admission of guilt, looking to delete text messages? You think? Here's another gem. This is great. Lead investigator Mary Jo White, referring to his Big Ten Media Day comments about the 2015 allegations. Quote, while those denials were plainly not accurate, Coach Meyer did not, in our view, deliberately lie. End quote. Wait, what? He said something that was, quote, plainly not accurate, then looked to erase his text messages, but it was not a deliberate lie. What the hell was it then? One of those accidental lies that gets repeated 9 times? Man, this crew is working awfully hard to make sure that Meyer can keep that job. And that's before we even get into the fact that Meyer never told Ohio State about the 09 incident when Zach Smith was hired. Weird memory lapse, right? How does that happen? Well, funny you should ask. And we've been talking about this because this is where the crap really starts to fly. Let's go back to the findings of the investigation for one of the all-time great excuses ever. Quote, "We also learned during the investigation that Coach Meyer has sometimes had significant memory issues in other situations where he had prior extensive knowledge of events. He has also periodically taken medicine that can negatively impair his memory, concentration, and focus." End of quote. WTF. Seriously, that's what you're going with. That he takes meds, and sometimes the medication means that he can't remember things that he, quote, has prior extensive knowledge of. Man, that is an all-timer. That is a legendary excuse. That is one of the alleged greatest coaches in college football history. A guy who literally is the smartest person in every single room he walks into. But he can't remember things because he takes medication that erases his memory. Man, have some bleeping pride, bro. Just admit you lied, because that's a much better look than "my meds make me forget things." "Sorry, I forgot about the 2015 allegations regarding one of my employees, and I accused other people of making it up. It's a side effect of some medicine that I take. Anyway, what's poppin' Twitter? Back to coaching." How could somebody actually spin that crap? How can somebody actually try to spew that kind of garbage? By the way, do you really want a head coach who has no memory, who can't concentrate, who can't focus? I mean, aren't these things important during game situations? Or do the meds only kick in when a staff member is accused of criminal behavior? I mean, I know those prescription commercials on TV have a long list of side effects, but I've never heard, "Warning, causes patient to lie about anything that might make him look bad." I'm sure he's got a great memory for a lot of good things, though. Don't worry about that. Oh, wait, there's more. There's more. There really is. But one more time for the people in the back. Urban Meyer did not forget anything. Urban Meyer did not learn anything. Urban Meyer has not changed a bit. Urban Meyer cares about one thing, and one thing only. Urban Meyer. Just ask him.
"Sorry that we're in this situation. And I'm just sorry we're in this situation."
Urban Meyer does not care about values. Urban Meyer cares about wins. Ohio State does not care about values. Ohio State cares about wins. Everybody suspected it before, and now everybody knows it. And let me leave you with the immortal words of the great poet, Lendale White.
"Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks."
The immortal words of the legendary poet, Lendale White.
"Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks."
This could not look any worse for this guy or this program. Terrible, terrible look. 1-800-636-8686. Let me tell you something. Lendale White, if you were here, I know exactly what he would say.
"Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks."
The best decision you're ever going to make is the decision to call for a ride instead of driving impaired. Everybody knows about the risks of driving drunk. You could get in a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But let's take a moment and look at some surprising statistics. Almost 29 people in the United States die every single day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. Even though drunk driving fatalities have fallen by a third in the last 3 decades, drunk driving crashes still claim more than 10,000 lives every single year. Drunk driving can have a big impact on your wallet also. You could get arrested and incur huge legal expenses. You could possibly even lose your job. So what can you do to prevent drunk driving? Plan a safe ride home before you start drinking. Designate a sober driver or call a taxi. If someone you know has been drinking, take their keys and arrange for them to get a sober ride home. We all know the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing is for sure. You're wrong if you think it's no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. Dabo Swinney is my guest. Dabo, good morning. Nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing today, Jim?
Doing great. Doing great. Listen, one of the things I admire most about you is you're always fired up. You're always ready to go. We're about a week out from the start of the season. You've got a ton of talent coming back, Dabo. How excited are you about this group and seeing what this group can do?
Oh, I'm super excited. This is the most veteran team that I've had, you know, since I've been the head coach here. And so it's just, you know, a lot of guys that have had a lot of success, a lot of guys that really know what it takes, and just tremendous leadership and character. And, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, we've put in a lot of work since January. Everybody gets excited for the season, but, you know, now's the time where you better be excited back in January and February and March and all the way through the summer, because, you know, that's what leads to success this time of year. And our guys have put in the work, and so I'm excited to see them, you know, get out on the field and hopefully get some fruits of their labor.
Dabo Swinney, my guest. So let me cut right to the chase. When you have the kind of success that I mentioned right off the top, it seems like the natural inclination every single year is to think national championship or bust. Is that how you personally see it? Is anything less than a national championship now a disappointing season?
Yeah, and it's not for me, Jim. I've never gone into a season with that mindset. I really haven't. We have our goals are the exact same as they've been since 2009 when I got the job, you know, and they haven't changed. And I set those goals up to allow us to compete at the highest level, because I felt like that eventually we would be able to build a program that could do that. And, you know, and they haven't changed. And we want to win the opener. We want to win our division. We want to win the state championship. We want to win the ACC, and we want to win the closer. So that's really what we focus on. And whatever comes after that, and beyond that, hey, we can live with it. But you know, we've won this league three times in a row, and we've been in the playoff three times in a row. So we just really focus on that. And you know, if we can win our division and have a chance to play for this league, then you have a bigger opportunity. So there's nothing in our building that says win the national championship, because you know that there's some subjectivity to that too. I mean, you could have a great season and maybe you don't get in the playoff. But for me, I just measure each team. Or you might have a really, really committed team, a great team. Maybe you have a couple of critical injuries and that maybe affect the scoreboard. But that doesn't mean that your guys weren't incredibly selfless and committed and played with great effort and heart. So I measure it differently than that. I think that if that's the way you go about it, you know, you're going to spend a lot of years miserable. So it's certainly the ultimate accomplishment, but I think it's that's a byproduct of just the daily focus and daily commitment and just the goals that we try to seek to achieve every year.
Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney is my guest. You know, I look at your team, and defensively, especially that defensive line, Dabo, it looks great. It looks about as good as I've ever seen there, just from where I'm sitting. I want to ask you about Christian Wilkins. He came on the show last October. I got to be honest, I love the guy. I love his personality. I love exactly what he's all about. What does he mean to you and to your program?
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, I wish everybody had a chance to really get to know him. I mean, he is one of the most dynamic young people that I've ever been around, and he's been that way since we recruited him. He went to a boarding school up at Suffield Academy up in Connecticut, you know, from the ninth grade on. Very independent, very mature. Just loves to have fun. He's got a huge personality, but I'm gonna tell you what, and a lot of times people see that, got kind of that gregarious side of him, but he is a grinder. He loves to work, number one. And he loves to be coached, and he loves to lead. He loves to take the young guys and teach them. It's just really cool to see a guy like him because he is a great player, but to see him and just how he goes about his business on a daily basis and serving his teammates and just so many people in the community. He graduated in 2.5 years He's working on a master's degree. I mean, he's just he's a very unique guy and one of the best I've ever been around. And he plays three technique for us, but he also made All-American as a defensive end a couple years ago. So a lot of people don't know that, remember that about him, but that just shows the versatility that he has as a defensive lineman. And he's got an incredible future. No doubt he's going to have a great year.
Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney, my guest. You know, Dabo, when you look at it, it's been really a tough offseason for college football with the issues at Maryland and Ohio State, to name a couple of spots. When you look at the state of the sport overall, what kind of thoughts do you have personally?
The state of the sport? Well, I think that, college football is such a special opportunity for so many people, just provides so much opportunity and joy to lots of people, and that hasn't changed. I think that, you know, we just live in a world today where there's just so much exposure, and I think the game is great. It's probably as good as it's ever been. I think there's so much good, but in the world we live in today with social media and all that stuff, the bad really gets exposed, and I think that's really good. And that's one of the great things about social media is it exposes the bad and quickly. But it's also, a bad at times, because then people can paint with a broad brush it's all bad, but it's not. You know, there's 20 years ago, there was bad things that happened. 20 years from now, there's going to be bad things that happen because you have people involved. And there's always going to be mistakes and disappointments and so forth, bad decisions. But as far as just the sport itself, I think it's a great sport, provides so many opportunities for so many people, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And just try to do everything we can every day to focus on just doing the right things here at Clemson. And hopefully we can continue to develop our guys on and off the field and help create opportunities in life, through their experience here.
I do appreciate your thoughts on that. I'd like to ask you one quick follow-up. I know you're focused on your program, Dabo. I know you're focused on Furman next Saturday. Does it feel to you like there might be some programs where winning has been prioritized over the players and the values of a school?
I really just try to stay focused on us. I'm sure that, that's the case maybe in certain places. You never know. I can only focus on what I'm dealing with on a daily basis. I mean, I've experienced in my past or have known of situations where, you're just like, well, man, they don't really love the guys. It's more love of winning. Ever since I've had this job, I've just always focused on, I want to win as bad as anybody, but I'd rather lose trying to do it right, than to win knowing that you didn't. And that's just kind of the way I've built the program, the philosophy that I've had here, and I just want to just love our players. It's always going to be some setbacks and things like that, but for us, I just want to make sure that these guys have the opportunity to go be successful when the air goes out of the ball, and that's how we've done everything in our program. So I hope that most programs are that way. I can only speak to the one that I'm involved with, but I'm sure that there are programs out there where it's just all about winning. But I can't do anything but focus on where I am.
Talking to Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney. Dabo, I noticed a few weeks back you had a chance to catch a pass from Brett Favre. Now, I know that's something you wanted to do for quite some time. What was it like when that finally happened?
That was pretty cool. I'd always wanted to meet him, and he was great. He did a good job with our team, was very transparent with them. But to be able to just play a little pitch and catch with Brett Favre was pretty cool. And I didn't really know what to expect, but I quickly figured out he could still sling it. That ball was humming out of his hand quickly, so that was pretty cool and a neat experience for me.
You mentioned really quickly that he was pretty transparent with your guys. What was his message to your guys?
He just talked about really just enjoying where they are and talked about what it takes to be your best. And you told a lot of stories about, you know, his experiences. And you know, he just kind of was a guy that always felt like he had something to prove, and how that fueled him. And it was really good. I mean, he just did a great job of relating to the guys. And then, you know, the guys kind of took it from there, because we kind of opened it up and did a Q&A. And it was kind of neat to see him just interact with our guys with the questions that they had. So it was cool. But bottom line, I mean, he was just talking about, you know, you got to put the work in. And, you know, there's no shortcuts. And doesn't matter what you've done last year, doesn't matter what you've done the last 10 years, you know, it's all about where you are in the moment and trying to maximize that opportunity. So he was right on point in so many ways.
All right, so what kind of a play did he draw up for you, and how's your route running these days?
Well, my boys would probably tell you my route running is not quite as good as it used to be, but I beg to differ. I'm just a little slower, but my double move is still right on point. we just kind of threw pat and go, and that was about it. But it was fun. His first two or three balls were a little wobbly. I think he was checking my hands out, and then he started tightening the spiral up after that. So it was good.
There it is. Head football coach at Clemson, Dabo Swinney, my guest. We do it every single year. They open up their season against Furman on September 1st. Dabo, I appreciate you and your time, and it's always nice to have you on this show. Thank you very much.
You got it. Hey, good to be with you, and all the best.
No amount of coffee can give you the jump that a great night of sleep on a Casper can. Casper was created with one goal: to deliver a great night of sleep at an amazing value. The team of engineers and designers at Casper worked nonstop researching, prototyping, and testing all of their mattresses based on how different people sleep. The Casper mattress has a unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment so you can feel perfectly balanced and comfortable. And the breathable material guarantees that you sleep cool. Plus, the mattresses are built to last 4 years. Try Casper yourself for 100 nights risk-free. They ship it to you for free in a compact box. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything, no questions asked. See for yourself why Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews and counting. Go to Casper.com today and take advantage of Casper's limited-time Labor Day offer. Say goodbye to summer with 10% off any order with a mattress. Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. See site for details. Based on reviews of all Casper products across Casper, Google, and Amazon. Or let's talk about a circus involving golf. You know, the moment that two of the most insufferable fan bases have waited for is officially coming, and it's coming to pay-per-view. Thanksgiving weekend, Tiger v. Phil, Eldrick v. Lefty, Polo v. Long Sleeves, Red Shirt v. Black Belt, the Cat v. the Fat. Now, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it, apparently it's going to go down in late November. And let me say this for the record. It's going to go down late November, and I could not give a damn. Because nothing screams blatant cash grab like a couple of dudes a decade past their prime going out to some track in Vegas to turn their honks upside down and shake out some pockets. Pay-per-view, golf. 25 other better guys play every single week for free in real events. But these two grifters want you to break them off some greenbacks and watch them do something that we've seen them do for the past two decades on basic cable. So ask yourself this, Marks. How much are you willing to pay? How much are you chumps willing to pay? Because you know that was a topic. Topic number one in the negotiations for the entire thing. Bunch of really smart people sitting around and asking themselves this. How stupid in dollars are these fans? Look, I don't know what that number is right now because they're not saying. We don't know what the number is, but I cannot wait for the reveal. I hope it's $100. I hope it's a C-note and then another $25 for HD. I really do. I want to see how dumb some of you are. And I know a lot of you thinking or are thinking right now that I'm a hater. Fact is, I'm not. Last Monday, I led this very show I opened it up by talking about how the cat was an amazing story. The cat was so much likable, so much more likable right now than he's ever been. That red shirt he was rocking is no longer merely a costume. That this guy was playing in real events and contending and not playing in some made-up carnival cash grabs. And again, what a great story he is. I gave the cat the ultimate tip of the hat because he earned it. Now they're both getting the ultimate kick in the ass because they've earned that too. Do not shoot the messenger. But these two dudes have combined to win one tournament in the last half decade between them. And now they're going to play a match where the worst that can happen is you finish in second. And you've got a coin flip's chance of winning a stack of cash four times bigger than first place at the Masters. Straight up hustle. A con job. And they're doing it in broad daylight. That's a thing. Broad daylight. And it's fitting that it's going to go down in Vegas. At least Phil will not have to go far to throw down at a window. But somebody, do me a favor, somebody rip this guy's phone from him. Because Phil is as bad at Twitter as he is at lying about why he stick-handled a moving ball at Shinnecock. And it is zero coincidence that Hefty joined the social media platform just in time for the big announcement of his match against El Gato. And the only thing phonier than his head-to-head battle is Phil trying to run his junk on Twitter. I don't read bad tweets on this show. Well, actually, I read a lot of your bad tweets on this show. I try not to read bad athlete tweets on this show. And I'm not going to start right now, especially for Phil. But Tito Ortiz calling Chael Sonnen a bad girl thinks that Hefty sucks at talking smack.
Tito, go ahead. Tell him what I do so well.
Well, he talks well. His mouth has gotten him every fight, big fight that he's had.
Tito always says I'm using my mouth to get my opportunities. The only person I know that made money using their mouth is his ex-wife.
Well, just to correct you, I was never no marriage. You're a f***ing punk, dude. That's what you call class right here compared to no class.
That was a nasty line.
No class. Me. No class at all. That's why you see him with thongs and f***ing jeans and a t-shirt. No class.
They don't call you the bad guy for nothing.
A bad girl.
That is some kind of an exchange. They don't call you the bad guy for nothing. Bad girl.
A bad girl.
Come on, man. Listen, the only thing worse than asking me to actually watch Phil and Tiger is asking me to pay to watch it. Here's an idea. Has-beens. Put up your own money. Do not come to us for this money. I mean, you want lame. How about, I don't care how much money we've made. That's a lot of money. That's going to get your attention. You want to get our attention? Put up your own money. Don't ask me to fund this. Put up your own money. Winner take all. Put it on free TV. And maybe if I've got absolutely nothing else to do that day, I'll watch it. And these two dudes, man, just wait for the run-up where they're glad handing each other, talking their horrible brand of junk, trying to go on social with it. I like these cats a hell of a lot better when they hated each other's guts and when Hefty could still play.
You know, toughen up.
So don't be looking for my take after this goes down because I'm not watching it. And don't tell me it's my job to watch it. It's not. I'm not watching it. I'm not paying for it. And I'm not watching it. I've got much better things to do with my time and my money than to give them both to these jokers. Pay-per-view. Pay-per-view with these two dudes. Tiger and Hefty. Oh, $9 million. Great. We're paying a couple of rich guys so they can get fatter and richer. Awesome. 15 years ago, maybe. While you're at it, maybe you can get Bill Russell and Kareem to play one-on-one pay-per-view. Formerly great players, great men. Nobody's interested. Kevin in the Coachella Valley tweets, If I wanted to see some out of shape, past their prime athletes play a game that nobody cares about on Thanksgiving, I would just go to the local park and watch the local Turkey Bowl. Again, not just watch a couple of past their prime guys. Pay to watch a couple of past their prime guys. I can't wait for the reveal. I mean, seriously, what are you going to try and jam people up? And it's not even a jam job if it's done in broad daylight. Like, everybody knows what this is all about, right? Are you willing to pay for it? How much are you willing to pay for it? Because a bunch of smart people sat around a table and asked themselves the very question. How much do you think these marks are willing to pay for this? $49.95, $59.95, $195. We are joined by Ed Oliver. Ed, it's great to have you on the show. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
All right, yourself?
Good, man. Good. Listen, there is so much hype and so much attention on you. My first question is, what's it like to be Ed Oliver right now? Do you enjoy all the attention, or would you rather just focus on football?
I'd rather just focus on football any day. The attention is fine, but that's not what wins championships.
You know, that's not what wins championships, but there is a lot of attention on you. But, Ed, to be fair, there's also a lot of attention going to Oreo, your horse, to the point where there's a bobblehead of you and Oreo. How about Oreo getting all this love? It's one thing for you to get the love. How do you feel about your horse getting that attention?
It's crazy. More people know Oreo than people know me. And that's weird in a cool way. Y'all know, I just had to give all the credit to David for making a bobblehead and making it actually a thing.
Listen, I'm a big horse guy. I love horses. And horses, unless you've been around a horse, you don't really understand this, but they've got strong, strong personalities. And there were times where you thought that maybe Oreo might be trying to kill you. You have to understand, man, horses are like this sometimes. What is the horse's personality like, and how did you get him to a spot where you could ride him?
He wasn't just crazy, but I feel like he emulated me in his personality. He was a very stubborn, hyper-energetic horse, and I don't know, Oreo just he was a fun horse to be around, but you had to know what you were doing when you was riding him.
We're talking Ed Oliver. I get it. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, Major Applewhite said that when he shakes your father's hand, it's like shaking somebody's hand with sandpaper. When you see him, it's cowboy boots, starched jeans, starched shirt, leather collar, hat on, end quote. So how much have you learned from your father about work ethic and how to approach your job?
He taught me everything about work ethic. He has the reason why I go so hard now, besides it being a personal choice. But when I was younger, he instilled in me responsibility with the horses. And when you tell somebody you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And just things like that. He used to remodel homes. He worked at a steel plant. And just the type of work he does requires hard labor. So when I used to go to work with him, or whenever I was doing work around the barn, it was hard labor. So it just instilled in me. It was in the middle of the day in the hot sun. So it just instilled in me work ethic.
We're talking to Ed Oliver. You know, Ed, you might think that maybe somebody like me, an old guy like me, and you don't have something in common, but we do. I spent some time around the barns, too, and my old man was the same way. We had horses growing up, and he had me cleaning and mucking out the stalls. I know you've done this, man. This is not fun. How do you go about doing that, and what's worse, actually the shoveling or handling the wheelbarrow?
To be honest with you, both of those jobs were mine, shoveling and handling the wheelbarrow. I did it all by myself. I had 3 stalls to clean every weekend. He fed the horses throughout the week, and sometimes he'd help me. Sometimes he wouldn't be there, or sometimes I just had to do it by myself. So that was pretty much so the worst part.
Yeah, man, that's not fun. I did that. I'll never forget my old man saying to me, too, one day. He comes to me, and Ed, he was the same way. My old man fed the horses, but I cleaned up after the horses. One day he says to me, he says, you know what, son, you don't have a horse. You don't ride the horses. If you don't want to do that anymore, you don't have to. I said, good, man, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm done with that. Now, last season was a challenge from the standpoint that the team and the school and the community dealt with Hurricane Harvey, and you dealt with a knee injury for a while, but you've said you were not going to let anything mess with your final season of playing with your brother Marcus. How important was it for you to get to play with him, and what kind of memories do you take away from that?
That's what I came to college to do, to play with Marcus. And through all the adversity, I still had some times that I can never forget with my brother for the last ride in college as a Cougar. So I can't complain.
Now, you announced earlier this year that you were going to enter the draft after the season and said part of the reason for that was so people would just stop asking you about that. With that out of the way, do you catch yourself thinking about what life in the NFL might be like, or are you fully locked in on Houston Cougars football?
We got to win a championship this year, and after we win our championship, then I have plenty of time to think about it.
We're talking to Ed Oliver. So that answers that. You're locked in. You know, there's so many different aspects to your game that are impressive, and I know you take a lot of pride in the way you come off the ball. How are you so explosive and forceful when you come off the ball?
I honestly don't know. I thought everybody played like me, but I guess they don't. So I don't know. Probably the way my stance is. I got a very different stance from anybody else I ever seen. So probably the stance.
No, everybody does not play like you. Like, for instance, when you watch film, what gets you more hyped? Seeing yourself put an offensive lineman on skates, just knocking over an offensive lineman, or getting to the quarterback?
I'd probably say tackling the running back. That's me all day. I want to tackle people.
We're talking to Ed Oliver. You know, as good as you are, you're never going to rest on your laurels. And your defensive line coach, A.J. Blum, will never let you. You've known him for a long time now. And you said, quote, "That boy can get me mad quick. I swear he can turn me on like a stove," end quote. So how does this guy do this? What does he say to get you going? And then how do you respond?
He say what?
What's Blum say? What does he say to get you going, to get you to respond?
He just got his little ways of getting my furnace hot, getting my furnace lit.
How does he do it? What's he say to you?
You just have to be in the meeting, just sit down in the meeting, just you know how to do it. It's like some passive aggression type stuff.
That's funny. Ed Oliver joining us. I guess I got to be there for it. Some passive-aggressive stuff. Listen, you've been a huge part of putting the Houston Cougars on the map, back on the map. And one of the things that you've said is the first two seasons were about you showing everybody what you could do, and this year is about what I'm going to be remembered for when I leave. So leave us with that. How do you want to be remembered when you leave? What do you want people to remember you for?
I want to be remembered as a five-star who came here and left the program better than he found it. And if that's all I'm remembered for, I'll be happy.
Let's go to Cleveland. First stop, Howard in Cleveland. Nice to have you on the show, Howard. Good morning.
Thank you, Jim. Great show as usual. I'm a loyal Ohio State fan. Love everything about it, but this is totally, totally unacceptable. Urban Meyer sitting right there in front of that presser, didn't even hold his head up. And one thing my father told me about being a man, if you look a person straight in the eye, he couldn't even look them cameras in the eye and make it say what he did. At the end of the day, Jim, I think we haven't heard the last of this. I'm sitting here looking at your show. I love everything about this show, but Urban Meyer needed to be fired or suspended for a year, at least, before he even thought about coaching another football team. And how the heck are these recruiters, these parents, now going to send their kids to Ohio State and Urban Meyer coming in their house, looking them in the eye, telling them, "I got your sons back"? Jim, I find that very hard to believe, and I find this very hard to accept. Like I say, Ohio State is a good university, but right now, they need to name it, as you said, Urban Meyer University. I'm pissed off at this, man, and I'm going to watch the kids. But, Herb, you went from a 10 to a 0, just like that. And I think he knew more about that Florida incident down there, too. And you got a memory loss. I remember, Jim, I used to be homeless and knocked out and totally out here, Jim. I remember them days. I don't want to go back to them days. I'll never forget them, Jim. Ain't no way Urban Meyer didn't remember them things. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
Rock him. Let's go to the ATL, Atlanta. Susan in Atlanta. Hi, Susan. Good morning. How are you?
Jim, thanks for taking my call. Do you remember me? I called you last year after the Iowa loss. Do you remember what I said to you? I said, Urby needs to go. Go pull the tape. And what else did I say? I said, Urban Meyer is going to ruin Ohio State in the same way that he ruined Florida. Didn't I? You go pull the tape. He is a sick pup. Zach Smith, he's known for years. Flotsam and jetsam up from Gainesville to Columbus. He has known. And that bug-eyed president up there doesn't have the balls to fire him. I've had it. Go pull the tape. I called it last year after the Iowa game. Go pull it, Jim.
All right, Susan, let me check it out. Let me check it out. Thank you, Susan. She said, I called it. Do you remember me? Sort of, kind of, not really. Do you remember me? Go pull the tape. Look, I can do it. We have tape. We have tape of every call to the program dating back several years. Alvin, she said it like three times. Pull the tape. Did Susan in Atlanta last year call the program and say that Urban Meyer would wreck the program the way he did Florida? ATL, Susan in Atlanta. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Jim,
how are you?
Urby needs to go. It's time. He's going to ruin Ohio State just like he ruined Florida, and this is his fault. There was absolutely no excuse. For whatever reason, he can't get the team ready to play the big game. They squeaked by Penn State. That was kind of a fluke, in my opinion.
Well, we did pull the tape, and she did say it, dating back to last year. Hey, Rex, what's cracking?
Hey, Romy, doing great. You know I love golf, but I'm with you. I'm not paying to watch Phil's rheumatoid arthritis go up against Tiger fused vertebrae. At least holding it in Vegas will allow Phil to lock in those three-team parlays and Tiger to lock in on that nickel slot hostess. Good news for Phil, though, is a potential victory dinner at Javier's before the flight home to Rancho Santa Fe. Just make sure that closet in the back of the plane is prepped, because the exit velocity of those shrimp tacos is about Mach 9.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Saw this guy setting that up. I knew when he talked about Javier's, he was going to set up the exit velocity of whatever it is he ordered at Javier's. I see what you did there, Rex. Javier has got a restaurant in Vegas. I've been there. It's great. You should go there. But when he talked about the flight back to Rancho Santa Fe and that closet in the back of the airplane, he's talking about the bathroom in the back of a private jet. We now know Rex's brand. Rex's brand is the exit velocity. Benny in Wisco, line 6. Benny, what's up? How are you?
I'm good, Rome. Quick ATP on a non-ATP day. Is there anything worse than Vic and NoCal calling every day this week? Yes, there is, and that is Vic and NoCal calling every day this week from John and Little Rock's phone. Hey, Vic, if you're going to keep calling from John's phone, I'd normally recommend at least tossing a parody in there, but I'm about one more poorly delivered TLC verse away from inviting my plugged-in boombox to join me in the bathtub. Aya Frady and that idiot Smacky Chopper from Southfield think your call sounds scratchy. And would it hurt to tell your boss to hold off on running the Blizzard blender machine until after your call's over with? But, Rome, that apology by Urban Meyer was about as heartfelt, polished, and believable as a Jeff Passan smack-off call, or a Mike and Indy retirement, for that matter. I mean, Dr. Dave thinks Herb might have tried to get that over with as soon as possible. And not that Dr. Dave deserves to be a topic, but if that dude can't get through a phone call, what the hell is his bedside manner like? I mean, does he just openly vomit on his patients and their parents and then look them in the eye and say, I'm done? That's what he says when he calls Jim. Go pull the tape. Go pull it, Jim. And finally, if I'm going to pay $100 to watch Phil Mickelson play golf on pay-per-view, he damn well better be topless. But thanks for taking my call, dude. War Scott Service telling his buddy to go pull the tape after an honest day's work. Later, pimp.
Hey, Wisco.
Good night now!